Welcome back to the Lost and Found for Podcasters. I go by the name of DJ Treacy Treese. And if you are lost in your podcast journey, then you found the right podcast. On today's show, I have Corey from the Black Podcasters Association. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about building communities and memberships. So thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us a little bit about your community that you've grown. The first question that I want to ask you is the first question that we ask all the people who come to the show. And that is, how can a podcaster who implements some of the practices that you talk about today grow their show?
So what we're going to be talking about today, I think it's going to help. I think one of the first things you need to do is just figure out who you're going to be targeting, who's your audience, and then what the value you bring to them. And I guess we're going to expound on that a little bit later on in the conversation. But how can you actually apply it? You can look at the resources. So I think understanding what you want to achieve, what your goals are for the community, will help you to determine which platforms you use. So you can go with a free platform like Facebook.
Awesome.
Or one of those social media platforms that offer you groups. Mm-hmm. Or you can go more with like a paid platform like a Mighty Networks or a Circle. And then from there, you would just build up your community and promote and stuff like that.
Awesome. So it sounds like you're going to help give them some direction and structure. Yeah. So let's talk about first, how did you start the Black Podcasters Association?
Ooh, we started in 2020, right when the pandemic hit New York City. It was the same month, actually probably like the same week. But I started the community because before that, I was in a bunch of Facebook groups for podcasting. And as a Black creative or Black professional in the podcasting industry, I was just seeing conversations going on in these communities where there was like a cultural disconnects or just not understanding one another in the groups. And I felt like, sometimes the questions that were being asked by people looking to get into podcasting weren't truly being answered. So I was like, it was a little judgmental. How some of these groups get. So I was like, well, we need a space for our own, where we can come be ourselves. You can ask a question a certain way, not automatically know where you're coming from. You want to use your vernacular. People understand it. it doesn't matter where you're from in the country. People understand what you're trying to say. So, and for me, it was really big on the two things I was really big on when I started the community on Facebook was raising the standard of like the production value of what you're putting out, raising the standard and having a little bit more pride rather than just throwing stuff out there.
Yep.
And then also education, creating an environment for people to feel comfortable to share their knowledge and learn from each other.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a huge reason why we started this podcast as well, right? It's like sometimes our people don't have the best, that don't have the leg up in the education of just like, hey, this is this new hot thing. Where do you go? What do you do? How do you build something great there? So it's awesome that you could create and cultivate that space. So it sounds like Black Podcasters Association was a pretty cool community from the beginning. Can you tell us where you started with the platform? Like, did you start in that Facebook group and how fast did it grow and where did you branch out from there?
So I'm going to keep it real. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had an idea. I was talking to a friend just expressing my frustration. She was like, why don't you start a Facebook group? And she sat down with me, helped me set it up and was just explaining what it is. But when we first launched the group on Facebook, I didn't have an idea. Like, I just knew I knew what I wanted to do. I just didn't know how to go about it.
Yeah.
And then when the pandemic hit, it kind of like the world was kind of like in confusion at first. So that first like month, she kind of like encouraged the people from her community to come over to mine. So we kind of had like it wasn't targeted. It wasn't like everybody who came in the group was really about podcasting.
Yeah.
So just as the pandemic started to take off and people started discovering podcasting and getting into it, by the time we started off with like 200 members, by the time May, June hit, I had like almost 1,000.
That's pretty fast.
By the end of that summer, it was like 1,500 members. Within a year, we were at 2,000 members. So as more people started learning about podcasting and at the time we were named the Black Podcasting Group, I guess that the name just kind of like drew people into it. And there were other groups, but some weren't as active and we were really active. But initially I didn't know what I was doing. I was just letting, people were just coming in and just randomly posting things. And it was a lot of spam. It was a lot of people just promoting their podcasts. which was a thing I didn't like about other groups. But I didn't, you know, I was still learning how to use the Facebook platform. So I didn't know you could, you know, I won't say block, but you can kind of curate the content that people post.
Absolutely.
Permission. So it was a learning curve, but we because of the pandemic, I think we just skyrocketed. And when so many Black people now looking to get into podcasting, they were just looking any and everywhere they could for a place where they can learn what they wanted to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd like to also point out, you got awesome SEO. Black Podcasters Association. You type Black Podcaster in Google and it's like you right up there. So I'm sure that helped too, you with your discoverability with like naming your community what it was actually about.
Yeah. I mean, the goal for me, I will say, I didn't know what I was doing, but the goal was, my background comes from music. So it was like, what did I know? And I was like, well, I know like organizations like ASCAP, BMI, despite the fact that they were publishing, they also have like artists, they do like part of your membership to them is like artist development, having workshops and stuff like that. So I was like, that was kind of like my blueprint for what I wanted to do. I just didn't know how to do it in the beginning with the group. Like I didn't know how to use Facebook in the beginning to try to bring that stuff to the community. So it was definitely a learning experience in the beginning. I mean, it's always a learning experience, but it was definitely a huge learning experience in the beginning.
Yeah. So fast forward us to now. Okay. You had Humble Beginnings on the Facebook. Where can everybody see the Black Podcasters Association community online now?
So you can go to blackpodcastersassociation.com. Not the Black, just blackpodcastersassociation.com. And we're now a private membership based group. Subscription-based, annual or monthly subscription-based group. We moved to the Mighty Networks platform. And, excuse me, one of the reasons why we moved to it was because the Facebook groups are cool. Like the free, you get what you pay for, right? So if you're using something for free, you're limited to what they offer you and what they give you. We decided to go with the Mighty Networks because it's designed for community. It's designed to give you the tools you need. And yes, you have to pay whatever fee you have to pay to run a community on it, but it gave us more flexibility to do a lot more things and a lot of the things that I wanted to do with the community without having to worry about Facebook violations and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And community standards. How did you know it was time to grow?
How do you know when it's time to grow?
How did you know? Yeah. When it was time to move from that Facebook to something that was a little bit more heftier and it was worth the investment.
So, it, you know, sometimes opportunity comes across your desk and you got to evaluate it and seize it. And my path to how we became what we became as a private community was probably a little different than what other people may do. But I'll say this, when I had the Facebook group, I was really like, the tension was always to get it to monetize the group and get it to a point where we have a subscription-based model. And that was because I looked at it like, if you want these workshops, you want these courses, you want these things, you want me to create it, it's going to take finance to do it.
Yeah.
And on top of it, if I'm going to have somebody come to do this work, I want to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it was like, I was always trying to figure out how to go the monetization route. And I didn't really know what route to really take. And it wasn't until Talib Jasir from Afros and Audio Podcast Festival came to me and we sat down and he was like, you know, I have an idea. And he does the podcast festival every year. And he was thinking like, he had his attempt at a community, but running a community takes a lot of time. Just like creating, you know, running that festival takes a lot of time. People think, oh, it's just just pops up. No, it's a year in advance that they're working on it. So it was like, well, and when we were talking, we were in alignment. So it was like, okay, why don't we come together, you know, and I'll take over your community that you have on Mighty Networks. And we'll just work as a partnership. So it's really Black Podcasters Associated by powered by Afros and Audio. And we decided collectively to just since our brands were in alignment, just collectively create this community and not only just build the community, but also help to build the Afros and Audio podcast festival, which is dedicated to Black creators and professionals in the space. So yeah, that's kind of why I was like, you know, it's a little bit different path, but it was, you know, but again, alignment.
Yeah.
Understanding what you want to bring, and if the value is there for everybody involved, it's not just how can my I had to think about it. Well, how can my community benefit from this partnership? And just like he had to think, how could, you know, his, what he's doing benefit from the community?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it sounds like you were building community to help build your community. You know what I mean? Like, you're networking within your community and colleagues to help to grow your network while growing his. That's an awesome thing to think about. It's like, a lot of times people think you have to be in competition, and it sounds like we can share audiences. We can both come to the table and create something bigger. So that's just awesome to think about from jump. So you said that you started it. So it took you about 2 years to monetize, maybe, right?
Year and a half.
Yeah. Okay. So for some of the podcasters that are out there and maybe haven't thought about building a community around their podcast, where should they start with that? Like, how do they test if their community would be interested in, you know, like having community interaction?
Well, so, you know, if I could go back and what I learned now and start, I'd have been monetizing from the beginning, but, so because, you know, every platform has a different age group. First thing I'm going to say is who are you targeting, right? Who's the age group you're targeting? Depending on the age group you're targeting, it's going to determine what platform you're going. If you're more of an older crowd, since Facebook seems to have more older people in that platform, that would be the platform I would say start a Facebook group. You know, start a Facebook group, open it up to public, make sure you have your rules, and just enforce your rules to keep you, because you want to create a culture in there. But, you know, start small, get a couple people that you may know, or find a couple people and like let them know, hey, you know, I have this community. If it's a more younger crowd, I might say start with like a Discord channel.
Yeah. And people forget about Discord.
Yeah. I'm starting to see more and more podcast communities popping up on there. But when I put it out there, because that's what I did in the group, was like, hey, have you guys ever heard of Discord? I knew of Discord. But when people were like, when I started getting a whole bunch of overwhelming response, what's Discord? I don't know what that is. Yeah. You know, sprinkle of, yeah, I know what it is. I was like, I knew that's not the platform for us to be on, because there is a learning curve to it. And, you know, you got to, you know, and I was like, how can I make this an easier thing? So for podcasters, I would say is understand who your audience is and then find the right platform. Start for free if you want to. Some of these platforms like Maddie Network, Circle, might give you an opportunity to, now you might have to pay for it, but they'll give you opportunity to open up the community, a free community to the general public, that member people can join for free. At the end of the day, whatever vehicle you can use or you decide to use, make sure you understand that that's where the audience is at, and it's going to be as easy as possible for them to navigate whatever you need them to navigate.
Yeah, man, you just nailed it right on the head. You asked your audience where they were, if they knew where you were thinking about going, and you got the answer pretty quick, it sounds like. Yeah. What have you been doing on Twitter? I'm just curious, because Twitter Spaces and people are telling me all the podcasters are on Twitter. So much so that I've tried to be on Twitter more. You know, like, I loved Twitter in college, but it kind of died out for me. Are you there, and have you seen anything with podcasters there?
Oh, I'm definitely on Twitter. I was the opposite. I didn't really understand Twitter. I never understood Twitter. I was just like, I would get on there and just be like, all right, hey, you know, whatever, follow people and just, you know, speak. But we're on Twitter. I challenged myself last year, in May last year. We only had like 100 followers on Twitter. And I was like, you know what? My friend kept telling me, get on Twitter. It's like, all right, let me get on there. Twitter is a great space for engaging. And I think podcasters, you should be on there. One, there's a lot of professional people that may be in the niche that you're targeting on there. And I've always said, like, depending on what social media platform, there's a certain psychology behind it, right? I can go on Twitter and I can tweet Elon Musk or one of somebody else or rapper or business person that, you know, maybe a professional in my space, and get access to them and have a conversation with them right then and there in real time. Whereas any other platform or even in person, I might not even be able to get in the room with them.
Yeah.
So I could tell you, we you know, I progressively was just engaging, following people, jumping in conversations, making little comments here and there. And it's at the point now where I'm like, you know, I go to events, podcasting events and stuff, and people know, they know me off of Twitter and I know them off of Twitter. So we just like, oh, you're, you know, okay, hey, yeah, I've been following you, and you get
it's like meeting people in your chat room from the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you're you have to be, you know, there's certain platforms I just think you have to be on, regardless of what's going on with Twitter and all that. Twitter is also an international platform.
Yeah.
Where a lot of other people in a lot of other countries, that's usually
in the UK. This and the podcasting is jumping there now.
Right. And that's for a lot of countries, that's the only access, internet access. So it's on one of the few social media networks they may have access to. So yeah, you can also cross boundaries with Twitter as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad you, I didn't even think about the international part of the Twitter, but I do know a lot of people from the UK.
You know how I realized that? When I was in school, I also do, when I was going to get my degree in web development back in 2014, we had to do a report on the Arab Spring. And when I was doing my report on the Arab Spring and how Twitter during that time, you know, when Egypt had that revolution and stuff, during that time, Twitter was the tool. So I learned a lot about Twitter then, and that, okay, in a lot of countries, this is the communication tool. Like with the whole Osama bin Laden thing, mm-hmm, that happened. We learned about that because of Twitter.
Crazy. That's crazy, right? How social media is actually media. I forget about the media part about it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation.
I know. I'm like, whoo, I guess you could get that deep into it. So let's say, for instance, I just built the Lost and Found community, right? I did. I started free. I'm in Facebook. I got 1,000 people in there. How do I start to convert those free people into paid members?
That is a great question, and it's not one simple answer. I will say something that I always shout him out. My man Rob Dunwood, he's one of the members. He was one of my Facebook group members, and he came over to the community. But he's been in podcasts for a long time. And we were having we did a live stream one time. And if I had that advice in the beginning, I would have set it up like that from the beginning. But he says, he tells podcasts, like when it comes to monetization, he says, like, the problem with a lot of podcasters is we think there's a point where we start monetizing. Like, oh, I'm going to get to 1,000 downloads. I'm going to get to 1,000 followers. When you should be doing it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You should be trying to monetize from the beginning. So for a community to get them over, you have to start training them. You have to train them to do what you want to do. That's what Rob says. It's like, you got to train them. So you got to figure out you got to understand what the value you offer. And then you got to start training them. You got to let them know, like, hey, this is a free community. However, if you want to get more in depth, or you want more access to content, or if you want to be getting the workshops, you got to come join the paid community, right? You can, and it's even at the point now, I'm like thinking even open, because I shut down, so I had to go the drastic route. And it was, how do I get everybody to come to the paid community? All right, we're going to shut this down. If you loved, because people love the group. So if you love this group, you're going to come over here.
Yeah. That was the ultimatum.
Yeah, it was basically, but because we did it so fast, I probably would have taken like 90 days to do it. But me and Talib met in November. We ironed out everything early December. We did a big announcement with the group. We had people come in on a Zoom call. We were talking about it. We were pitching it. People were really feeling it. We was getting feedback.
Yep.
January, we did a soft launch. February, we launched. I will tell you, from that mistake, take some time and really get them there. But you also got to start taking away some things too and putting it over there and saying, hey, we're doing a workshop, you know, a free workshop. Come join the community. It's free for members.
Yeah.
So I think the most important thing, if you're starting a community, you want to get them on top, you got to start training. Let people know from the beginning when you're launching that this is a free group, but we're eventually going to be moving into a paid. And here's the reason why. Here's the value I'm going to offer you with the paid community.
Do you think people should, right as you're talking about this, now I got a sales brain. So I'm like, why don't we just keep the free community open and that be your pipeline to the paid community, right? It's like, you can just keep people talking over to let them lightly do whatever you like, and then have those workshops and have those exclusive interviews and the behind the scenes and the extended episodes on the Patreon or behind the paywall. What do you think about that?
See, now, what you're talking about now wasn't really something I was thinking about 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah, it wasn't popping in probably either.
And the whole, you know, and the other thing was, there was the dilemma, was, do I keep the group open and just let people just be in here and we just let them know, come over, you know, let them know what's going on in the pay, you know, kind of like make you jealous or like really get that emotional part. I've had some people tell me I need to reopen the free community and do exactly what you said, create a pipeline, just give the bare minimum. And just let people know and let them just, you know, because for me it was, because one of the biggest things I learned in this is like, it's, you know, when I was running the Facebook group, it was like a 24-hour job for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was getting, it takes its toll on you. And it was getting to me. And it was like, one of my best friends, I used to always complain and be like, yo, I don't know. And I'll be like, it's taking so much. And it's, you know, I had my business I was trying to launch, and it was taken away from that. And it was like, you know, do I keep this going? You know? And then, she was like, you know, after like the fourth time me doing it, she's like, you know, shut the fuck up. Make a decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was like, okay, if I keep this running, I'm going to commit. But that running that free Facebook group was a lot of time. And I was like, well, if I'm going to be concentrating on, you know, people are paying me now, so I got to really make sure I give them the value. Can I do both? So that's the other side of it, is like, mm-hmm. can you do both? You can keep it open as a pipeline, but you got to figure out how you can't let both of them consume you.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, yeah, that's good advice, because I constantly get myself in situations where I'm like, but I'm keeping it open because I need some customers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm thinking like that, but also too, maybe having a lighter touch with just moderators or maybe a chat room would be beneficial there, but you don't want to take the energy away from the monetization. I totally agree. Especially if you know that's your end goal and that's the plan. And you're better serving your audience by providing them with those.
And you gotta heat check your community. You gotta know, like, I knew when we were going to the private group, I knew who was coming.
Yeah.
Because those were the most vocal, most active people. Those were the people who were like, Corey, I love what you're doing. They would send me DMs and stuff. A couple people didn't come over. I was a little disappointed, but for me it was like, okay, how do I get you from the free group to the pay group? I mean, If somebody was watching this and they were like, heard the story, they'd be like, that's not how you do it, Corey. But that's how we did it.
That's how you do it.
I created a plan. I was like, listen, $50 lifetime, you in. As long as you keep your membership active, you will have $50 lifetime. No price increases, none of that stuff, right? Nothing. We called it our founder's plan. So it was like, yo, you have X amount of time to get in. And after that, you'll never get in again.
Yep.
Right, that price is never. It's never. Yeah. I'm keeping it real. It's never coming back. So, but at the end of the day, you know, we had like 50 people come over, which was really good.
That's really good.
You know, and I was at first I was disappointed because I was like, oh, we got 2,000 members. I was actually hoping to catch at least 10% of that. Mm. But I'm glad I didn't, because it allowed me to make mistakes and scale, and us to really create a really good culture in the group. But I knew the people who were going to come, and the majority of the people who showed up for our presentation and who signed up were the people who I expected to come over.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's awesome. And you know what? I like, from what I'm hearing, it's like you're like, I don't know what I was doing, so I just figured it out. Most people are like, I don't know what I was doing, so I asked a bunch of people, and then I just kept analyzing it, and then I never did it. you know?
I had some people who were like Danielle Desir. I sat down with her one day. That's why you always see me promoting and pushing her, because, you know, she did. I kind of modeled her when she had the Women of Color podcasters group, and she had just shut that down and went like, yo, you guys got a third night. I forgot how many days she gave them, but she's like, you got X amount of time to come over to this community because I'm shutting this group down.
Yeah.
So that's when I talked to her about it, she was like that. But part of me was always like, do I look back and open the group up and try to figure out how to create a pipeline now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always there. That's the good thing. It's like, now you can exercise the option to be like, hey, nostalgia, retro, remember us? You know what I mean? Yeah. We coming back, you know? And
when I shut down the group, I didn't get rid of it. I archived it, because there was so much good information in there, and we had such great conversations. You can actually access the group and go through all the posts and everything. And look at conversations and comment sections and stuff like that, because I was just like, I didn't want to lose that data. I didn't want to lose that information that was shared by conversations in the group. So it's actually still there. So it's just a matter of opening up and saying, hey, like you said, we're still around, and you know, maybe even doing like a membership drive, and like, you know, it's a year later, where you guys at? Come over here. Here's what everybody who's joined here has accomplished and stuff like that.
Yeah, like a membership-a-thon. That's tight.
Yeah.
So. Last question on the memberships before we start to close out the show. So how do you price the memberships? Because, for instance, people go to Patreon, but then they don't recognize that Patreon is taking a little bit of the money that you're getting monthly out. What tips and best practices can you give our podcasters listening on appropriately pricing their packages?
This is like a business. It's like launching a product. I'm not gonna like even like I said, $50. Like people are like in a, you're severely undervaluing it. We started with $120 a year, $10 a month, or if you sign up, pay annually, it's $100, right? You say you get 2 months free. Even that's severely undervalued for what we launched with. And I think that's one of the hardest. It's still hard for me because, like, you know, we're gonna do a price increase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting
dropping that in
now. Get it now. But we're gonna do a price increase, and even trying to figure that out. And it's hard to say this X amount of value is this. So, like, when we did our initial like, come guys, come listen to this new thing that we're about to do. The feedback was, well, how much is it going to cost? Here we're at, we're thinking this, and they're like, oh no, like somebody was like, yo, like this is like a $600 a year idea.
Mm.
I was like, okay, so that tells me somebody's willing to pay $600 at some point for this. And that's also comes with confidence, you know, we like especially like as new business owners and stuff, you're like, I'm not confident enough. The lesson I learned in that was your confidence comes from the value you give them. Right. Somebody's going, if you phrase it properly and you say, okay, I'm going to charge somebody $300 a year to be in here or $99 a month, you just got to make sure the value proposition is clear so that the person who comes, who says, sees the value in it, is going to be willing to pay that.
Yeah.
Don't know. Like, you can't go crazy. So you got to find that balance. I would look at what other communities are charging on a yearly and monthly rate. Look at what they're offering. And see if that's something that you want to, or something similar. And then, you know, at some point you also have to be just say, you know what, the price is the price.
Yeah. And whoever's going to come is going to come.
And if it's a high ticket item, then, you know, you got to target a certain type of person who has a certain type of budget that's willing to invest. For me, the Black Podcast Association, I want serious people. I want people who are, and that was the other thing when we decided to go private, mm-hmm. was who do I want here? So if you go on my page, it'll say who it's for and who it's not for.
Yeah. Right?
It's not for you if you're not serious, if you're not here to try to figure out how to grow your podcast. Like, you have to be serious. There has to be an investment made.
Yeah, not like you doing money. It on your phone and just maybe download an Anchor.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're starting there and you come in, but there's an expectation that you're going to try to go and invest and buy you a Rodecaster or a different device that might be a little bit cheaper. You're making a constant effort to go forward. So, a pricing, you know, figure out what the value offer and make it reasonable. You know, I took into consideration, I'm targeting Black people. And that was one of the things, was like resources. People like, oh yeah, just go buy this mic. I'm like, that's a $500 mic.
Yeah.
You know, you're telling somebody who's telling you to your face, I don't have a whole lot of money to go buy an expensive mic for no reason. You know what? Come, and I used to DM people, come reach me, you know, spend $100 on this mic, go get this device for $200, and you can get started with that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. you got to know who you're talking to, and you got to understand their budget. Like, you know, not to knock Black people, but not a lot of us have a rich uncle or somebody we can tap into our 401k and take $5,000 out.
Yeah.
Or really set up a nice studio and get the really expensive camera, the 4K camera, mirrorless and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So you gotta figure out. So what I didn't want to do was nickel and dime people to death.
Yeah.
So I could have easily made it more expensive, or I could have made it free. If I made it free, I'm nickel and diming you to death. Everything you gotta pay for.
Yep. Pay for play. Yep. Kind of right? How they do on the cruise.
Or,
ship. Yep.
Or I can make it really expensive and you get everything for free.
Yeah. But then, everything's included. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, where was that balance to be able to reach both sides? And, you know, and I mean, it was cool. Price point, everybody tells me price point. Some, you know, I had 6 members come to me at the end of the year, like, all right, Corey, the workshops alone were worth you raising the price.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I got members asking me when I'm raising the price.
Yeah. That means you can raise the price.
What you talking about? Calm down,
who
yo.
Call their bills and tell them to go up. That's hilarious. But that means that they're getting value. That's how you know. That's how you know. Yeah, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So final question for our conversation here. And I hate to cut us short because this has been such an awesome conversation.
We can always do another one if you want to do part 2.
As many as we do. Hey, we might do the next one in your community.
Okay. Yeah?
Get some of our people over there. So what's the first next step to take after listening to this video for someone who wants to start a community from scratch?
Figure out what your goal and your purpose is, and then decide what the outcomes you want. What are the outcomes? for me, it was, I want you to be in a different space a year from now from your membership, right? So I had to think about, how do I get somebody, if you're getting started in a podcast, what does it look like a year later? And I had to reverse engineer it and go backwards and say, okay, I got to take this person through these steps. Okay. So you got to figure out what the value you're going to offer. You got to figure out, you know, what your goals are, and then what's the value. Look at what people, you know, do heat checks and with friends and people in the community. That's what Twitter is good for. Hey, you know, what is one of your biggest pet peeves about podcast communities? Yep. And see what people say. They're going to share.
Don't do those.
You know, and then say, okay, this is what people are saying. If you get enough answers, okay, you know what? This is what I'm going to offer my community.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do. And then the next step, you know, it's really the value. That's where you put the value out there. Let the people know. And just try to figure out, you know, you want to figure out what you can reasonably offer people in the beginning. And then you just create a plan to scale up. And then the other thing I'll say is, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, go on Facebook, start the group. Don't get discouraged if people don't sign up. If you only have two members in the group, nurture those two members. Encourage them to bring other people in.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's a slow grind. Sometimes it's just, you wake up one morning, you got 100 people requesting to be in the group.
Yeah.
And these platforms, you know, especially on like Facebook, they have algorithms that promote you when your group is active.
Yeah.
So, you know, just think about the outcomes you want for your members, and then create your value proposition, and then just get started. Those are the three things I'll tell you to do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Corey, for taking some time out to talk to us today. We appreciate it. All of Corey's information, anytime. We're going to talk again. Y'all definitely going to see Corey on the channel again. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Lost and Found for Podcasters. Major shouts out to all of our homies over there at Dystopia for sponsoring today's episode. And like, share, and subscribe, of course, for more information on how you can grow your podcast. I'm DJ Treacy Treese, and I'll see you on our next episode.